Welcome to the Tatum Talks podcast with Kelvin Tatum and Ian Brannan. And this episode's special guest, Grand Prix wildcard for Cardiff 2023, star of Pool and Wolves, Steve Worrall. Tatum Talks, the official podcast of Kelvin Tatum. I'm Ian Brannan, and together we've got lots to review because we've got the Speedway World Cup to talk about, we've got Speedway of Nations 2, we've got the Grand Prix in Riga, we've got all the stuff that's been happening in British Speedway to look back on and look forward to with the playoffs coming up. We're going to start by reflecting on the British final. The Sports Insure British final took place recently. Tricky conditions at the National Speedway Stadium in Manchester, with Dan Bewley once again retaining his British title. So he gets the crown, but the wild card for Cardiff went to the runner-up, and this year, for the second time finishing second, but the first time that he's going to be a wild card at Cardiff, Steve Worrall is going to be the person getting that honour of appearing in front of the crowds at the Principality Stadium in Cardiff and racing in his first Grand Prix. And I'm very pleased to say that Steve Worrall joins us at the start of this episode right now. Welcome, Stevie, and first of all, congratulations. It's been quite a week for you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's been a bit of a whirlwind few days, I guess. And like you say, not the British champion, but you know, I think the next best thing from that is obviously the opportunity to go to Cardiff and be the wild card. So now thrilled with that, and got a lot of planning to do now and not much time to do it. So it's all hands on deck.
It was a hell of a night. Conditions were far from ideal. I sense that the way you rode, your body language that night, having, you know, you looked really determined to do well. You didn't seem to get fazed by it all. Was it that you'd encountered those conditions previously in your Bellevue days, or was it you just went there, irrespective of what was going to happen, you were going to put your best foot forward?
Obviously, we always go in to do that. You know, going by the conditions, it's, you know, I'll be honest, they're not conditions that usually favour me. Usually when it's like that, you know, you get the ex-grass trackers who throw that left leg back and just hang on, and it doesn't usually favour me, that sort of stuff. But I had power, you know, I had plenty of power from the engine, which was, you know, it was nice to have for once. Usually, you know, sometimes you can be at Bellevue and think, I'm flat out where I'm not going anywhere. But don't know, with the track being so heavy, I had the power that I needed. And sometimes things just work, you know, everything seemed to work. I kept clean all night, which, you know, that's a big positive in conditions like that. When you come in and you look like the mud man, it's, you know, you spend half an hour then scraping off and trying to clean yourself down. Everything just worked, you know, and it snowballed on all night. And, you know, I didn't do anything silly that I didn't need to do. You know, you saw a few lads when they tried to, you know, just push the boat out that little bit further, you know, it didn't quite go well for them. So kind of, you know, rode with my head all night. And obviously, as we've seen before, you know, once you get to that final, it's a clean slate, and that's the most important thing. So that was always in the back of my mind, straight to that final, try not mess around in any semis and, you know, risk anything. And once you're in the final, it's any man's then, especially given the track conditions. And I'd said from my last heat, I thought, oh, I want gate two, that's the one, I want gate two. And, you know, I was quite surprised when Dan went for four, you know, because it's such a long way, and the way the track was, all it takes is, in my mind, if I could have ran out, got straight to that dirt line and kind of pushed him past it, it would have been his race over. So, and I'd have sailed off for the win, but now he was just too fast coming across. He obviously knew something I didn't.
Well, I think he just chanced his arm a wee bit, I think. I think he just fancied that he could get there and just rail round all of you and get away with it. But it was, I agree with you, it was a high-risk strategy that paid off in the end. The last race in your qualifying heats, though, was important, wasn't it? Because you must have had an idea that you needed a win there.
Yeah, I'd been told that if I won that one, it would, you know, put me straight into the final. And again, when things work in your favour, you know, no disrespect to any of the riders in that heat, but it wasn't my hardest heat of the night, you know, so I wasn't going into that race with all the pressure of trying to win one of your toughest heats. You know, it was kind of, you know, like I was quite positive going into it that I'd be able to do the job and get myself straight through. So, yeah, just going back to that, you know, everyone has to have a bit of luck every now and then. And I guess that my luck came Monday.
Yeah. On a one-off night like that, you need a touch of good fortune. Can I take you back a bit, please? Because I've been around a little while. You broke your leg. When did you break your leg, please? I can't remember exactly.
2018 it was, beginning of the season, 2018.
Yeah, because I was watching your progress and you were making good progress at that stage. You broke your leg. Took a little bit of time, obviously, to get over that. You were desperate to come back, but I sensed that it did hold you back a bit. Then we've had COVID. Does this result in 2023? Do you feel like you're finally getting back to that position where you were rapidly approaching back in 18 around that time?
Yeah, you know, like I look back there myself and I feel like from where I was then, I've lost so much time. You know, like I'd kind of, off the back of 2017, the World Cup, World Games, you know, I think I got second that year in the British final. You know, that so much had gone through and in towards 2018, so much work had gone in, you know, like I'd never trained so hard. Like there was so much that had gone into that year and I think it kind of, not only the injury, but everything kind of just knocked me down. And then obviously, like you say, 2019, not much, still recovering from that, 2020, then COVID hit. So I feel like everything's halted progress. You know, I've not been able to just keep going and keep pushing forward. And like now, I feel like this year has been quite a big stepping stone for me and pushed me forward to get back on track to where, you know, I could have been projecting to in 2018. So, you know, I took a gamble, went back to Poland this year, which I think's paid off for me. You know, it's makes you realise that, you know, they don't play around over there. It's not like British Speedway. Every time you go to the start line, there's no weak race. Every race is full on, and I think that's done me good as well. You know, I think in England you can not so much get stuck in a rut, but you become a little bit complacent. And over there, you, still now, like I'll go there and you'll do the first heat and you'll go, God, these are rough. Best broaden my shoulders up a bit here, and then you have to, you know, like start throwing your weight about after the first heat. But it's always, I feel like I need to just, you know, hit the ground running straight away from the first heat. But you come from England where people don't really, you know, it's not, racing isn't like that. It's more chilled, more laid back. And then you go over there, do your first heat, get roughed up a bit, and you go, right, that best stick my neck out here. And then, you know, I've got to get that more regular. And I think that's helped me. It's brought me on. And, you know, here we are. Obviously, I have a different and a positive attitude on Monday. Like you say, you could tell from body language and things that I was there to do a job, I was there to do, like, you know, meaning business. So, yeah, I feel like it's, you know, everything's getting better for me. I'm getting back to riding how I know I can and scoring the results that I know I can.
Yeah, and that's evident. I think that the result on Monday night was as a result of that. And it's good to see, because I can appreciate that some of the issues you've gone through mentally and physically, it's never easy coming back from a tough one. What are you building up now? You're flat out busy. I understand that fixture backlog. But what are your expectations going into Cardiff? You know, do you sense that, you know, are you putting a target on it, or are you going there just to enjoy it, or you want to, because it's a massive shop window for you now, isn't it?
It is, yeah, and it's difficult. You know, I have thought about it, but I'm also, like, I'm not one of them who talks a load of rubbish. You know, like, I'm a realist. I'm realistic at the fact that they're the best guys in the world. There's a reason that all of them are in the Grand Prix series, because they are the best in the world. But also flip that around, you know, we're not on a big Polish track that I'm not used to, where you need the fastest engines that you can have available to you. You know, things are a little bit different at Cardiff. You know, it's smaller track, a little bit more technical, which, you know, as British riders, that's what we race week in, week out. So, and one of my attributes to my racing is my starting. So if I can go there, you know, I'm used to the technical tracks. I like these small tracks. You know, I've I'm not sure about the indoor ones, who knows, but if I can make some starts, you know, and ruffle a few feathers, then, you know, I'll be happy. But like you say, it's hard because I have some expectations, and I want to go there, and of course I want to do well, but I'm a realist in the fact that these guys are the best in the world. And, you know, the most important thing is to just go there and enjoy it, you know, have fun, soak up the day, take it all in. You know, it's memories that will last a lifetime. There's not many people who can, you know, they've got it on their resume that they've been the wild card at the British Grand Prix, you know, so I'm very honoured to be able to do that. And, you know, I'll make the most of that, and I'll just go there and enjoy it and try my best, and, you know, that's all I can do, really.
And you've got qualifying to look forward to, Steve, which is clearly going to be the highlight of the weekend. But qualifying, yeah, actually on the temporary tracks could be quite important, couldn't it? Because often, you know, if you're looking at the history of Cardiff, the inside gate quite often is an advantage. So that will be something new for you, won't it? So, you know, you'll be, I'm sure that in itself on the Friday evening will be a nice little introduction, won't it? If you can do reasonably well there and make sure you, if I remember, I've ridden Cardiff actually, I've been lucky enough to ride it. I've got long corners. It actually looks small, but rides big.
I've practiced there once, and that's what I remember from like what you was just saying. Then when you're up in the stands and you're looking down, it looks small, but when you're actually on, it kind of opens up and it doesn't ride it doesn't ride small. It's a little bit different. And I mean, it was a while ago now. I can't remember what setup I was using. I'm going to have to try and do some digging and find out some information from some other guys who've been. But
yeah, because the start's close to the first corner. You've got to make that jump, haven't you? You've got to be able to nip into the first corner. Inside gate, you can put your front wheel over that curb and you can hit your front.
Yeah, that's it. And like you said, the inside gates are so important. So I think that makes qualifying even more important. You know, you really, really want to be as high up as you can, so you have the opportunity to pick either two ones and a gate two, and then a, you know, do it like, oh, two gate twos. I think people are going to be fighting over them numbers where you get in them gates. So yeah, it'll be important on Friday. You know, I like to think I'm pretty fast over a lap, so we'll see.
You mentioned, Stevie, that it's all hands to the pump now, and you've got a busy time. There's lots of fixtures going on with your various clubs, not least in Poland, but also with Poole and Wolves as well. I know that you are looking to bring some gear over from Poland. So was that gear that you think is going to suit Cardiff better, or what's the thinking there?
Well, it's just my last meeting for my club in Poland, Daugavpils, that's on the 27th, and sadly we haven't made playoffs, so kind of like the curtains are drawn on that after that meeting. So I thought, well, this is a perfect opportunity now, just with the run-up that we've got to Cardiff. You know, like, if I reeled it off now, it's I'm racing Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday I'll travel to Latvia, then I'm in the race there Sunday, back to Wolves Monday, Tuesday off, Poole Wednesday, Peterborough Thursday, Cardiff practice Friday. So there's hardly a day off in between. So in between that, I'm trying to figure out, right, I need this engine servicing because I want to race this one at Cardiff, and this one I want to have freshish, you know. But then in between that, I need engines to be able to do all these meetings with. So, and then say you have a drama in between where, you know, something happens and the bike gets bent or whatever. And so I just figured, I was obviously sat down thinking about the whole situation the other day and trying to plan, and I thought, right, well, that my last meeting over there, ideally I'd like to leave the van there because you have the opportunity then for open meetings and whatever else as the season starts drawing in. But you know, it's just the perfect opportunity, I think. And I need the equipment here, even down to the Peterborough match on Thursday. I can use the fourth bike, almost leave that dirty, and I can bring three clean ones then to Cardiff, and I'm fully prepared and everything's ready to go. So we're not trying to find somewhere to do a quick bike wash Friday morning before the practice. So just little things like that where I think, you know, I'll benefit a lot from having all my other equipment with me. And, you know, I have an engine over there which I'd like to bring anyway, so I'd have the hassle trying to get that back. So it just makes sense to bring it all, you know, especially when you look at that. I think there's like 2-3 days off in the next 2 weeks, which whoever organises these calendars are crazy. But yeah, it is what it is. And you know, hopefully it'll do me a favour. You know, I'll go into it, you know, on the back of a lot of riding. You know, I can't go into it and say, oh, well, I've not ridden for 2 weeks. You know, I'm a bit rusty. And I've got the advantage of being on the bike and racing regular. So.
And not having too much time to think about.
Well, that's another thing, Kelvin. And you know, I haven't got too much time to sit around, you know, overthinking and dwelling on the whole thing. It's literally just flat out. And there's certain things I want to organise, you know, if I try and, you know, generate a bit of sponsorship as well. You know, I've got this great opportunity and it'd be nice to be able to do something, you know, for my current sponsors, but also to try and introduce some new ones. But just physically don't have time, you know, and I don't want to, like, overrun myself and, you know, get myself in a bit of a pickle. So I think, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do on that side of things, but it's best to just, you know, go with the flow, I think, and, you know, concentrate on the racing, you know, score the points. And when it comes to Cardiff weekend, just go there and enjoy it.
There's no doubt that you're going to have a lot of support at the event when it comes round on the 2nd of September. Not least your current fan base of Pool Pirates and Wolves in this country, but also the sides you've represented previously, like Scunthorpe, Newcastle, for example, as well, Edinburgh, Swindon, you know, Bellevue, of course. You've represented a good spread of sides across British Speedway, so it's going to be quite an experience, especially as we've seen in the past. It must be an experience that sticks with those riders forever, where you get out front in a Grand Prix and, you know, the crowd erupts. It's going to be something that's going to stick with you for sure.
I remember, I think one thing that sticks in my mind, obviously I was just starting out at Speedway the year that Chris Harris won it. That was kind of like when, just as I got going. But one thing that sticks in my mind is I was the reserve and Danny King was the wildcard. It was the year he won the British Championship. And I remember him, he had a real slow start and then won a heat and the whole place just went mental. And, you know, you think back to that and goosebumps, you know, I think, you know, it could happen. So, yeah, we'll see.
Exciting times.
And you've been a track reserve before, Stevie, so you've sort of had that experience, but yours was one of those years, in fact, one of the few years where nothing happened. No tapes are broken, everybody got through in one piece, and you never got your opportunity to come out and have a go.
That's it, yeah. Every single year, I think, before and after, either, you know, there's been a crash or someone's gone through the tapes or whatever and the reserves have managed to get a go. I think even someone's always pulled out. I think that every year since, like obviously last year, Adam Ellis had to withdraw and both reserves got to share the event then. And, you know, the one year I did it, it was just, I think I was with Robert Lambert. We just kind of stood around. So, yeah, I didn't quite get the opportunity to go out there, but, you know, thankfully we're here now. We'll get another go.
Well, you're in for the full experience this time. Qualifying Friday afternoon, obviously we've spoken about that. Racing, it's a slightly earlier start, 5 o'clock on Saturday. And as I say, the Brits will be royally supported. I think those moments you've just described about when a wild card comes in and does well, it is quite spine-tingling. The reaction from the Brits is fabulous. And to have the opportunity to experience that will be something very special. And I think just standing there listening to the national anthem, I think that in itself will be quite moving in some regard when you stand there, you know.
Yeah, that's it. And I've sensed already, you know, the fans, you know, getting behind it all, because like the two meetings I've done since, I can hardly get to the changing rooms, you know, through people wanting to talk and, you know, I absolutely love it. But then I look at my watch and I'm thinking, God, I best go and get changed. You know, time's going on and, you know, but I enjoy it. You know, I love that side of it and I've sensed that already, you know, the fans and every single person saying, oh, congratulations, you know, we can't wait to be at Cardiff cheering for you. So, you know, it's brilliant. You know, and you see it all. There's so many people who've obviously going by the sounds of, you know, how much we're talking about it at every track I've been to so far, you know, so hopefully that continues and I've got a lot of tracks to go to before then, so there'll be a lot of people coming over, I guess, but no, it's...
Well, I think it's fully deserved, Steve, because as I say, I've mentioned about the fact you were making great progress, the hold up with your leg break, so in some ways you can reflect on that and say, well, you had to be patient, but you're here now, you're a bit older, maybe hopefully a bit wiser, And not allowing it to get to you too much and become too big in your mind. Because I do think at the end of the day, it is a speedway meeting, four riders and four laps. And there are opportunities in there. You know, not all of them are going great. You know what I mean? When you look at the performances in the Grand Prix, there's some blokes that are struggling. So you come in with everything to gain and nothing to lose, effectively, don't you?
That's it. And, you know, no disrespect to any of the riders, but they... You know, certain ones prefer the big open, you know, slick Polish tracks, and, you know, they absolutely hate the small indoor bit rough tracks. So, you know, I can hopefully take advantage of that, and, you know, that'll work in my favour. So, like you say, there is an opportunity there. You know, I'm realistic in the fact that these guys are the best in the world, but I also know what, you know, on my day, what I can do and what I'm capable of, so... And like I say, one of my strong points is my gating. And if you can make starts at Cardiff, you're halfway there. You know, so that'll be the plan. That'll be the plan. And, you know, hopefully I can go there and, you know, make a bit of a statement, you know, make a bit of a name for myself, like you're saying, you know, grab the opportunity.
Yeah, well, I wish you all the very best because, as I say, you're riding well. There's no doubt about that. And you can come in with that sort of body language, that mindset that you had at the British Championship, then you can probably surprise one or two, I'm sure. I don't know. I think that there's every chance. I think this World Championship, apart from Smarzlik, I think he seems to be in a different level altogether. But I sense after that, it's really difficult to say who's going to be successful at a Grand Prix. It just seems to be very wide open every time. And as you rightly say, Steve, these indoor meetings... The track last year wasn't great. We don't quite know. We saw, actually, a good example was in Tetra, where the track was tricky. Kim Nielsen made the final. You know, a man that's ridden in Britain a lot. You can turn the bike. One or two of the boys didn't fancy it. He makes a final.
That's it. And that's all it takes. You know, like I said, some of the guys, they do prefer the big open slick tracks, which, you know, you can see that. It's not hard to see. And, you know, Kim Nielsen, he's rode in England for a long time. You know, he's not frightened of getting the bike turned and having a bit of a few ruts and bumps. So he took full advantage of that opportunity and, you know, put himself there. So, you know, it's an open playing field. We'll just have to wait and see. I mean, hopefully the track, you know, hopefully they've done a lot of work into you know, making the material better. So, I mean, Warsaw was fantastic. You know, the racing there was brilliant. The track didn't break up at all. You know, it was nothing like Cardiff last year. You know, obviously we don't want a repeat of that. So I'm almost certain that they'll be on the job and they'll get that sorted, and the track will be a, you know, fantastic racing surface.
And a little word about your British clubs as well, the Wolverhampton Wolves in the Premiership and the Poole Pirates in the Championship, both doing pretty well at the moment and cruising through, heading towards the playoffs and looking forward to the final section of the year. But both sides who are looked after and managed by, you know, the most experienced managers I think we have in British Speedway in Neil Middleditch and Pete Adams. And there's a fair few titles between them, but you've got a lot of experience there that you must have picked up to take with you into this. And of course, Pete Adams, no stranger to the Grand Prix circuit as well, where he's been sitting and looking after Ty Woffenden through much of it.
That's it. And it's brilliant working with these guys. You know, they've got so much experience, and it kind of feeds into the team. You know, there's no desperation. You know, I never get a sense of that. You know, as long as you make playoffs, it's fine. Obviously, Poole's mentality is a little bit different. You know, Matt Ford he wants to win at all costs. And, you know, similar with his son Dan, you know, he's got the reins, you know, that they want to win at all costs. And the whole thing of trying to get to the top of the championship, you know, there's some clubs just fighting to be in the playoffs, whereas, you know, we're fighting to finish top, which it's a nice place to be. It's a nice thing to be fighting for. Don't get me wrong. I'd much rather be in our position than other clubs where they're just fighting for that sixth spot. But, you know, we've kind of hit a bit of form at Poole. You know, we seem to be going good. We, on Wednesday, just gone, we managed to get ourselves back onto the top of the table. You know, Oxford gave us a bit of a fright there, but we hit the 50 points, which took us to the top, which was nice. Wolverhampton, we're kind of, you know, when you look at the team, we're almost like the underdogs. You know, we don't have the big Jason Dawes and Emil Seyfudinovs and Ty Wolfendens, but what we do have is, you know, a top five that could all go out there and score 10 points each. And I feel like that makes a difference. You know, we haven't got one guy who can go out there and get 15, but the other ones who might get 6 or 7, 5, you know, between scattered along. Whereas, you know, in reality, we've got five guys in that top five who can all go out there and score 10 points. And then when you throw Zach and Leon in at reserve, you know, Leon's one of the best up-and-coming Brits that we've got in British Speedway. So, you know, on the night, like last night, you know, things just worked. We give Leicester a real big fright there. And looking on paper before the meeting started, you could have said, you know, you couldn't really pick which way that was going to go. But I felt like from the off, you know, we had it covered. So, yeah, we're sitting pretty there in second place. Obviously, going into the playoffs, it's a clean slate. Everything starts again. It'd be, you know, all goes down to who ends up where, you know. Ideally, you don't want to be going against the team who finishes first, because, you know, there's a good chance that they're going to push you out in the playoffs in the first round. So, but there's a couple more meetings to do before we get to that point. So we'll just have to see how it all pans out.
Awesome. Well, look, thanks a lot, Stevie, for joining us. I know that you've broken off a little bit of your family break away to join us on the recording here, but it sounds like the weather's a bit ropey outside anyway, yeah. But please, you could join us. Thanks for doing it.
I'm actually in Poole, and I don't think it hardly ever rains in Poole. The last time it rained here, I think, was the first running of my testimonial. That's the first time I've ever seen rain, so yeah. The one day we've got off now, it's chucking it down, so... Great.
All right. Smashing. Well, thanks very much for joining us again, Steve. All the very best in your endeavours coming up, but looking forward to seeing you in Cardiff, yeah. And I'm sure you'll give it your best shot.
Certainly will. Certainly will.
So nice to hear from Stevie, Kelvin. And I think it's good that it's coming round fairly quick. I know from another interview I did with him, he was saying that Charles Wright, I think it was, one of the riders that really knew that this was coming 2 months out, and that actually maybe sort of weighs on your mind a bit much, certainly in the lead up, not so much the event itself, but maybe you don't want to get injured or get any bother that's going to spoil that day. Whereas for Steve, he hasn't really got time to stop and think about it.
Yes, I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, if you are just not particularly busy and you've got this huge event that you're approaching, you can then begin to overthink it. And just listening to Steve there, he's a really level-headed guy. He's a smart bloke. He is busy leading up to it. He's bringing back equipment from the continent, so he's got plenty of kit around him. And let's hope he can do himself justice and the occasion doesn't overwhelm him. He is a good starter. If he can trap a couple of times, then he'll win a race. And then who knows what can happen. I wish him all the very best. And I like the fact that he's hung in there, because, as I say, he was looking so good. Things were going so well for him leading up to 2018. And then breaking that leg came at a crucial moment for him. So it just feels like it's a bit of a redemption for him that he has got to go to Cardiff. So I'm delighted that he was able to join us, and we'll be certainly keeping our eyes and ears out for him when we get down to Wales in just over 2 weeks' time. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, and a rejuvenated track as well this year, as I think we mentioned earlier. So going to be a good event. Don't let the naysayers online put you off. Get your tickets, get down there and enjoy what will be a great Speedway meeting for sure. Kelvin, we've not spoken for quite a while, so we need to first of all go back and talk about the Monster Energy Speedway World Cup, which, when we last spoke, we were with Ollie Allen previewing this event, and he was saying, well, if we can get to the final, we can get on the podium, that will be a success. They got a silver medal. In a way, it still feels like a defeat, having taken Poland to the very last lap. A good achievement, though.
Yeah, they got off to a flying start. They won the first couple of heats of the evening. Poland were a bit subdued. And right from the get-go, with that positive start, Great Britain were in the chase. They were in the meeting. I was there all week and watching the semi-finals and the race-off. All the teams that got off to a good start were then difficult to peg back, I think largely because you couldn't play a joker anymore. and you were reliant on other riders to split teams up to be able to make a big impact. So they got off to the ideal start. I think the confidence grew from there. Adam Ellis came through with a ride later on in the evening that certainly helped. And, you know, Ty Woffenden has come out and said that, you know, he feels awful about the fact that he dropped points in the middle part of the meeting. Quite clearly, nobody was legislating for that. But even though that happened, and despite the fact that Woofy had a disappointing couple of races, Robert Lambert was, you know, ridden out of his skin all night long. And Poland, I mean, in truth, Rafał Dobrocki, I would say he went away from there thinking, crikey, we got out of jail. We got out of jail, because that was my impression, that when he introduced Janusz Kolodzie in Heat 17 off of Gate 4, hadn't had a ride all night, that in itself was inexplicable. They failed to score in that race. All of a sudden, it was a two-horse race, then it was a four-horse race. Australia obviously losing a rider, that was put paid to them. It was a fantastic World Speedway World Cup final, it really was. Some of the previous meetings weren't so good, but the final itself was spectacular. And Great Britain can be, you know, like, they won gold in 21, they got 22, they got silver, and they got another silver. So they're on a great run, and no disgrace at all for them finishing runners-up to Poland in Poland. I think right now we've got three riders, and we just need to, as I say, if you look back on it, Ian, Woofy maybe picks up 3 points from those two rides. We're the World Cup champions. That's how close it was.
And while it feels disappointing, we've got to look at this being an away fixture as well, in Poland, in Wrocław. And we took Poland all the very way to the last lap of the final. So close, but yet so far. But it's been a long time since Great Britain has achieved this kind of result on a foreign track.
The last time we actually won was 89. Because I was in the meeting. So it is some considerable time ago since have managed to do or win. But Speedway of Nations came along. We had three Grand Prix riders, but back into the five-man teams with Adam Ellis and Tom Brennan backing up really well. As I say, they did their very best. And as I say, it very nearly worked out. So I don't quite know what's happening next year, where we're going. I believe it's Speedway of Nations again in 2024. But there's no doubt that whatever format, we are going to be amongst the medals, you would suggest.
People will say, well, we should have done well because we got Ty Woffenden and Dan Bewley in the side, and Wrocław is their home track in Polish Speedway. But sometimes that home track advantage, when it comes to an international event, doesn't quite pay off, does it, Kelvin? Because the track can be prepared differently, and all the things that you know from racing week in, week out, sometimes don't apply.
Yeah, and the track was slick all week. I think there was Phil Morris was mindful of the fact that we had four meetings in 5 days plus practice. It's a lot of action on the surface. And they did work hard to try and create more grip for the Saturday evening meeting, the final itself. But there was also the threat of weather in the background, which was clearly demonstrated literally as the meeting was completed, because the heavens opened and the place was underwater within seconds. But nonetheless, the meeting on the Saturday night was a great advert for International Speedway. And I think Great Britain, I'm sure Robert Lambert was desperately disappointed what happened in the last race. And I can understand that. But he had ridden brilliantly for Team Great Britain. And he was just caught in an awkward situation because Max Frick was kind of in his way and he wasn't quite sure what to do. But nonetheless, I sense our turn will come. And if it goes back to the Speedway of Nations next year, which I think there's a vicious rumour floating around that it might be, who knows, we might get gold again next year. But we've been on a great run in the last 3 years. You know, it's been brilliant.
On the subject of Speedway of Nations, it was Speedway of Nations 2 for the under 21 guys Riga at the Grand Prix on the previous weekend at the time of recording this. Drew Kemp, Dan Jilks, and Anders Rowe were our representatives. Unfortunately, Great Britain finishing bottom of the pile on what turned out to be a difficult evening after a good start.
Yeah, Poland just so dominant at that level. And when you look at the list of riders, you know, they are significantly more experienced at that level, and no real surprise that they were able to win. I think Denmark did very well to hang tough, but in the end it was like a high speed demonstration in the final. That Przemski and Sieniak were just head and shoulders above pretty much everybody else. I did feel a little bit sorry for Bartek Kowalski because he got replaced by Przemski, having had the outside gates, and then they introduced Przemski and put him off the inside gates, and he obviously benefited from that. And I think possibly Kowalski could have done exactly the same, but Rafał Dobrocki went with that, and you can't argue against the result because they picked up their 10th consecutive gold medal at under 21 level. I think they're 16th in total out of 19 staging. So those stats are truly remarkable. So yeah, it was, I pretty much think most of them, it was a new track for them. Track did get a little bit tricky, but Poland did well. Great Britain, well, it was an afternoon to forget. They started brightly, but faded. They couldn't work together. There were too many last places. And unfortunately for them, if we aren't the hosts next year, As I understand it, they'll be replaced by Sweden coming back in. So Neil Vetcher will be sort of scratching his head a little bit because we were better than we showed, no doubt about it, but we just didn't get to grips with it. So a meeting to not dwell on too much, and hopefully things will improve, because Drew Kemp, I think, found it difficult at reserve. You know, Kemp was somebody, I think he was the captain, and it didn't work with working that way round. When he came in, he just probably just didn't feel like he was on the pace. He didn't click into gear. So lessons learned in that regard. But nonetheless, better times ahead, I hope, for Team Great Britain. But Poland, as I say, under 21, nigh on unbeatable. I think it's only Denmark over 10 years ago that have managed to beat them at that level.
We are going to see a change in the under-21 team, of course. It's always evolving due to the nature of age and time marching on. Anders Rowe is one of the riders who will be too old for it next year. So perhaps this will open things up for other riders to come into that side. Maybe the likes of, say, Leon Flint or Dan Thompson. Conor Bailey, of course, the reigning under-21 champion.
Yes, inevitably, they will be pushed into the limelight, won't they? They'll be pushed into those ranks because the nature of the beast is that, you know, the riders moving on. So you look at Denmark, they had three new members of their team and they picked up silver. So it's possible. I just think that, you know, Denmark never looked like winners to me, but they worked it well with the point scoring system. They kept picking up 5 points every time they went out. And that, in the end, paid huge dividends. Latvia could have potentially been better than them, but it wasn't to be, and Denmark did the business. So, yeah, let's hope that those lads that you've mentioned, that they can make that step forward. And next time round, if it's in our own backyard, then they'll certainly feel a lot more comfortable. You know, being in Riga, that all those circumstances, different track, challenging track, surface and the shape, very different to what youngsters would encounter here. So not so much for Poland, not so much. They would have encountered those sort of conditions. But right now, when you look at Sieniak, Przemski, Kowalski, although they're going to be moving on, but they seem to have this unbelievable conveyor belt of kids coming through. But there's nonetheless, I'm sure whatever team turns up from Poland next year will be strong. But I'd like to think that if we're at home, then Great Britain will be in, and we can do better, and we can make just give those guys a big boost, because they would have been despondent leaving Riga that particular evening.
And do we have an idea or a hunch as to who might be hosting the Speedway of Nations next season at all, as to where it might be heading?
I think there are whispers that Great Britain is in the running to stage the Speedway of Nations again next season. But There are no... I think all of this will come out in the wash after Torren at the end of September, Ian. I think you'll find that that dates and calendars and wildcards and Speedway of Nation venues will be rubber stamped then. But I do believe it's only a whisper I've heard been in and around the Grand Prix scene. But as I say, nothing absolutely definitive. So where else it might go, I've no idea at all. But I'd like to see it back at Bellevue. If it was at Bellevue next year, it's a fantastic venue, and we saw some fantastic speedway. You know, how dramatic was it in 21 when we won? I mean, Christ, you know, that was extraordinary stuff.
Yeah, what a night that you'll never forget. Everyone will never forget, of course, that one. And hopefully we can have more nights like that back in Britain at some point soon. Let's turn our attention then to the Speedway Grand Prix in Riga. Big night because Bartosz Szmarszlik got the win on the board, and he now joins, the other Polish great of recent times, Tomasz Golub, on 22 Grand Prix wins, and he's closing in on that all-time record for the most Grand Prix wins as well. But Ty Wuffenden had a better night than he has had for quite some time, and he must be pretty frustrated with how his night ended.
Oh, heartbreaking. You know, he'd done so well. It was his best Grand Prix in for ages. And, looked like he was really... intent on putting a result together, back for the Sheffield Tigers, riding on a regular basis, seemed to be focused, riding well. Got a warning earlier on. Start line, that surface, in truth, by the time we got to the latter stages on Saturday night, the surface was completely worn out. And we saw it demonstrated with Jason Doerr trying to get off gate four at some point, where he just literally beached the bike and he was going nowhere. And he rolled forward. There was an incident in the first corner anyway, but unfortunately for him, Craig Aykroyd didn't miss the fact that he had moved on the inside. So harsh, but those are the rules. But I'd like to think with three Grand Prix left, Ian, that Ty is in the right frame of mind. He hasn't won a Grand Prix since 2018. He's languishing down in ninth place. You know, he needs to do something to remind everybody how good he is, really. And a win would be... if he could win in Cardiff where he hasn't won yet, that would be fantastic. And I think on the evidence of what we've seen just recently, I think he can do it. He can do it. He beat Szmarszlik in the meeting. Szmarszlik gave it everything in second place, but Ty held him off. So he's looking good. And I'm sure there's a lot of fans out there that will be chuffed to bits to see him back on top of the box. So let's hope that he can produce something really cool in Cardiff.
Yeah, do you think that Woofy can nail it in Cardiff this year? He seems to have not as much of the pressure on his shoulders. I think previously he's had a shot at the world title. There's also the pressure and perhaps he's put on himself to do well in Cardiff and say that, this year's the year, and never quite works out like that. Whereas this year now he's back in British Speedway, the awkwardness of him not riding here and only riding in the Grand Prix is obviously dissipating. Now he's riding for Sheffield. He seems to be in a different place personally and mentally as well, relaxed. And can this be the year where he finally nails Cardiff?
Yes, you may be right. You may well be right. You know, he's gone into Cardiff leading the World Championship. You know, all the focus on him leading up to it, huge expectation. I seem to think that Szmarszlik has denied him there and he's finished second. And it always seems to be an issue where he doesn't quite get over the line. He's coming in this time with nowhere near the same expectation. He won't be world champion. It's unlikely he's going to get a medal. There are only 60 points available left in the three Grand Prix, and he sits on 60 after seven rounds. So I would like to think that now it's all about focusing on trying to pick up a win before the end of the year, and Cardiff would be the ideal spot for him. So, yeah, let's see what happens. But... I think there'll be one or two other Brits quite keen to do it as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a good night, and that's heading up very, very soon. And sticking with Ty Wuffenden, of course, as we mentioned, he's back in British Speedway, which is great that we've got these top-level riders now riding back in British Speedway. Same for Robert Lambert as well, who's also now returned with Kings Lynn. But on the subject of Ty with Sheffield, he seems to be piling the points up. steadily away there in the background. Sheffield need a few more wins to be sure that they're going to be in the playoffs. They've got a bit of a tussle going on with the Ipswich Witches, it seems, and potentially also Leicester are not completely assured at this moment in time either. But you'd fancy that the promotion there at Sheffield will be trying their best to keep a side that features Ty, but also Tobias Musialak and Jack Holder all in it together. Although I think Musialak has just sustained an injury over the course of the weekend, which might make their decision slightly easier. But ideally, they'd like all three of those big hitters in the side as well, which means somebody would have to make way.
Well, that's an issue for Simon Stead and Damien Bates, obviously. They will look at the averages. I'm not privy to exactly how that would work, who they would have to move out. Clearly somebody would have to be dropped, but that would be harsh on them. Whether there would be the risk of replacing Holder for Woofenden coming off the back of an injury, because Jack Holder, you know, and all the excitement about Ty Woofenden coming back to British Speedway, Jack Holder has been having a fantastic season, and that injury in the Speedway World Cup final came at a dreadful moment for him, when he was looking like he was going to get a medal in the Grand Prix Series. He was Australian champion. He was been riding well everywhere. So I just think that it's a tough one for Sheffield. They'll be desperate to win the championship this year, coming so close last year. But I don't know. If you could keep Musialak, Woofenden, Holder as your backbone of your team, then it must be tempting. Ellis hasn't been great, and I think he's, by his own admittance, he says his performances in England. So maybe that might be the way they go, but let's wait and see. But that would be hugely exciting, and certainly it would be a similar scenario to what Robert Lambert and Bellevue did last year, you know, where they bolstered their ranks hugely. And, you know, Robert Lambert was outstanding for Bellevue in the playoffs last year. So we will wait and see. But it's an exciting conclusion to the season, isn't it, with these riders around and building up and the intensity. Leicester clearly under pressure because they've lost a few matches recently. They're quite keen to... They've already made a couple of changes with Richie Worrell and Kay Cook coming in. That doesn't appear to have worked. So they're looking for riders elsewhere, riders coming out of European leagues because they haven't made the playoffs. So availability may be just a little easier than earlier on. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see exactly how that all works out.
As we mentioned, the injury to Tobias Musialak in Poland over the last weekend may well make that decision a little bit easier, but we'll wait and see. Either way, the 28th of August is the final day for any team changes, so we will find out in the fullness of time before the end of August. After that, if you have a rider that's injured, then they cannot be replaced by another permanent rider. Okay, so you're dealing with just guests and rider replacement. The only exception is for the likes of Jack Holder or indeed Tobias Musialak, who is now injured. He could miss out for a couple of weeks and then come back in after the 28th. So injured riders can come back, but no other signings at all after the 28th of August. Talking about the other playoff places, and it's not fully certain yet in the Premiership in British Speedway, Kelv. Maybe the battle there, Ipswich putting a bit of a late run on and putting pressure on the likes of Sheffield and Leicester. Who do you fancy is going to make it? Because, of course, Leicester have made a few changes as well lately.
I sense that it was a bit of a knee-jerk reaction when they changed the team and they moved Chris Harris out and they brought in Richie Worrell. Who was the other rider that went? I can't remember. But they've also got issues. Justin Sedgman's performances have just dipped. Jake Allen down at reserve. He's struggling for points right now. So all of a sudden, you've got a situation where, you know, they aren't quite clicking as well as they weren't once were. I wouldn't have got rid of Chris Harris. I know that's going to upset Stuart Dixon, but quite happy to take that on the chin. But Chris Harris is a trier, man. He hasn't been great at home, but away from home, just look what he did last night at Sheffield. He will always give you 100%, and I just thought that was a slightly odd call, but they were looking at their maybe fundamentally their home form, but it hasn't worked because they got beat again last night. at Wolverhampton. So by Wolverhampton, excuse me. But no, I'm sure that they, as I say, they are going to be. But Ipswich, getting back to that, Ipswich are on a roll. And obviously Ipswich has been a tough season for them. They had a fantastic signing of Seifutinov, but they didn't click. They had riders ill and injured. So they seem to be getting back to full. And I think what they're doing, they're making these teams like Sheffield and Leicester and Wolverhampton, all four of them, they are now all of a sudden, there can't be any complacency, can there? They're going to have to, even though they've got matches in hand, when you've got a powerhouse of a team like Ipswich that are finally getting their act together, then all of a sudden, you know that you sense with the quality that Ipswich have got, they're going to keep it going for as long as they can.
Ipswich are certainly a lot better with Eric Riss now getting back to form, aren't they? Because he's clearly been a huge loss to them through the course of the early part of the season where he was suffering from this illness.
Yes. And, you know, it was an awkward one for Ipswich. They remained loyal to him when he came back. He's had this illness. He had this virus that affected his eyesight. Really difficult for him. You know, he was quite... It must have been really confusing. And when you don't really know what's wrong with you, and even when the medical profession are not quite sure, but it appears that over time it has improved and his confidence is returning. So let's hope it's not too late. But... for him, as a person, as a speedway rider, for Eric Riss, that's great because he's going to get something out of the season for himself. But for Chris Louis and Richie Hawkins and the men, because Emil Seifutinov's the best rider in the league, he has been extraordinary. And of course, you know, for the neutrals, there's a lot of people that would like to see Jason Doyle and Emil Seifutinov in the playoffs, but... they will need, their destiny is not totally in their own hands. So they're going to need somebody like a Leicester to keep slipping up. And they need to just keep winning. So time will tell on that. I think it is a long shot, but we'll see what happens. But nonetheless, it's an exciting sort of conclusion to the qualifying prior to the playoffs. There's a bit of jeopardy there.
Yeah, absolutely. But one side who are not in the playoffs but still making big signings are the Kingsland Stars, who, they had Artem Laguta ride for them for, a third of the season or so. He has now left the side and been replaced by Grand Prix rider and former British champion, of course, Robert Lambert, comes back to his boyhood club in many ways as well, his home club, having won the title with the Bellevue Aces last season. What this is going to do, obviously, it's not going to get Kingsland into the playoffs or anything like that, but it is surely going to try and put some bums on seats as far as his home side are concerned, and maybe for those away sides as well, where the fans come in to have a glimpse at Robert Lambert in action.
Yeah, I hear what you say, but he can't do it on his own. Nikolai Klint and John Thomas Jorgensen, they needed to back him up, and I believe there are question marks over the fitness of those two riders. So Kingsland,
those two riders are both finished for the season. Unfortunately, they both sustained broken vertebrae in their necks, both Nikolai Klint and Thomas Jorgensen, in separate incidents. So best wishes to them, but they won't be featuring again this season.
Yeah, so it's been an absolutely... I mean, I feel for Keith Chapman, you know, with all the turmoil that's gone on at Kingsland this year on the management side and with ride availabilities and trying to put a team together. It's been desperately disappointing for him. But let's hope that they can give the home crowd something to cheer, because that's what it is. That's what they've got to race for. They won't make the playoffs. They've got nothing they can really win apart from home matches, and try and put as much pressure on as possible. Robert Lambert will be, of course, putting his best foot forward. And it's great to see him back in British Speedway. I'd like to see him do a full season, not just cherry-picking meetings at the end of the season. That irritates me a little bit, I'm sorry to say, but it does irritate me a little bit where you just step in because you've run out of meetings elsewhere. But beggars can't be choosers. But for the home crowd at King's Lynn... they'll be pleased to see him back. He has a close association with that club. He lives in that neck of the woods. So I'm surprised he hasn't gone to Leicester. I thought that might be where he ends up, but that's not going to be the case. So, yeah, good to see him back. And I'm sure he goes back to Bellevue, where when he rode for Bellevue in the playoffs last year, he was unbeatable. So I'll be keeping a close eye on that that result there on Monday night. So, yeah, Robert Blabbert. All three Grand Prix riders, British Grand Prix riders riding in Britain at the end of 23. I don't think a lot of people would have expected that at the beginning of the season.
Britain and British Speedway as a whole seems to be a more attractive proposition now for some riders that previously said no. And I think moving into to next year, with the likes of Ty Wolfenden saying he's going to be riding here, Emil Saifuddinov saying he's enjoyed his time here and is already talking about coming back, as is Jason Doyle. You know, the foundations of some of these big riders that many people said would only be here because they had nowhere else to ride because of COVID, they are sticking around, or seemingly looking like they're sticking around, and that's surely going to attract more over as well.
Perceptions of riding in England had gone down the tubes. You know, there was a sort of like people were turning up their noses at it. You know, oh, you know, you don't want to ride over there, you want to ride in Poland and Sweden. But it's funny how these things go full circle. You know, all of a sudden you've got one or two riders like Jason Doyle, who's been a tremendously loyal servant to British Speedway. Emil Saifuddinov comes over, and that was a very eye-catching move by Ipswich to do that. He's been loving it here. He's been setting the world on fire in the UK. And he spread the word. And then all of a sudden, oh, right. And then people's perceptions change. And it's quite quick how that happens. Dan Bewley came back to the sport this year after a year out in 2022. So, yeah, let's hope it continues. I hope we can afford them because they're not cheap. But the flip side of that, Ian, is as they put bums on seats. When Robert Blabbert turns up with King's Lynn, which effectively is not a great fixture in the context of playoffs and the jeopardy of it all, it looks like a straightforward win for Bellevue. But Robert Lambert's coming, so people will want to see that matchup between Bewley and Blabbert. So that's box office. So let's hope that that remains. So, yeah, I'd like to think that people's perception, particularly from the continent, is that actually Britain isn't quite as dreadful as it might have been portrayed. And so, as I say, I think it's slightly... Also, I think riding, like Steve Worrell said it in that bit that we had with him at the beginning, which was brilliant. He rides for Downward Appeals, and the intensity of riding for Polish League, whether it's in the Extra League or whatever level, is tough. Like he said, you have got to be right up for it all the time. I'm not suggesting that Britain is easy, far from it, but it isn't quite. I think there is the possibility to enjoy it a little bit more. And I think for some of these guys, that's really refreshing.
So at the time of recording this, Kelvin, then just midway through August, what's your diary looking like? Cardiff is looming on the horizon, but you've got quite a few Speedway meetings, domestically at least, to cram in between now and then.
Yes, we were obviously the fixtures got flipped around where we went to Bellevue to catch Ty Wolfenden in his first night. So we were meant to be going to Bellevue, but we're going to be going to Peterborough versus Sheffield on Monday, where clearly Peterborough are actually going along okay. They're not an easy nut to crack. Sheffield clearly will want to keep to winning ways. And then the following week, we've got Wolverhampton at home against the Sheffield Tigers once again, leading up to the Cardiff weekend. So they're my next two. I haven't got a Grand Prix. It's been a busy period, of course, with the doubleheader in Riga. And then we had, obviously, the Speedway World Cup. We've had all sorts of bits and pieces going on as well. So, and with the fixture backlog, I sense there aren't going to be too many free Mondays. I think we're going to be running, I haven't had confirmation, but I get the feeling that we could be running flat out right the way through until the playoffs, as you know, have already been put back a week. But so, yeah, that those are my two. But in truth, Ian, I'm excited about going back to Cardiff. And I'm keeping my fingers crossed that all is well with the track and that we get a fabulous meeting. Ollie Olsen is saying that he's going to make the track slightly different. It's going to be slightly wider, a bit more racing room. And let's hope we have a really successful event. So, yeah, it's always home Grand Prix. Got to be excited about that.
Yeah, looking forward to it, and going to be a great weekend of Speedway, but also socialising as well for Speedway people, Speedway fans, riders, promoters alike, no doubt as well. And great, I think, that the three riders in the Grand Prix have all got a British club. You know, we've got Dan Bewley riding for Bellevue, Ty riding for Sheffield, Robert Lambert riding for Kings Lynn, and that's got to be a good thing too.
Yeah, it won't do any harm. It won't do any harm at all, and I think it will only... The timing of it is... It's fortunate for Cardiff and the promoters there, but they'll be grateful. Of course they will. And there's no doubt that it'll put a few extra people in the stadium. And I'd like to think that, you know, just anybody tuning in to watch this podcast, please, you know, I know it's an expense and it's an effort to go. Last year wasn't the greatest Grand Prix that we've ever witnessed at Cardiff. But I just sense that there's a big effort going in to improve things this time around. So go along. And try and enjoy the weekend. It is special in Cardiff, you know, with the stadium right there, right alongside in the middle of the town. It's unlike any other venue in that regard. And with the roof shut, it always creates a great atmosphere.
Yeah, and obviously people talking about the track, but they're starting from scratch with it. Totally new shale. People say, well, it's always new shale. It's not. That was part of the reason, I think, last year. And so, working on that, new design, potentially, of the track a little bit, and also a test event as well in the days leading up to the Grand Prix, with some of the under-21 riders coming down to have a go too. So that's got to be good to get it bedded in.
I sense it's pretty much standard procedure these days. But, of course, it's worthwhile, an opportunity for the youngsters to actually get a few laps in the stadium, which is always something a bit special. So, yeah, let's hope that goes off without any too many problems. And we can, you know, we're all set to go at, I think it's 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock on the Friday afternoon for the qualifying. So, looking forward to it. As I say, let's hope it's a really good one. And we have another British winner. Who knows? Back to back.
That'll be pretty good. History suggests it's going to be a difficult one to achieve that, but it would be good if we get back-to-back winners, and absolutely no reason why that can't happen as well. Well, look, it's been great chatting with you, Kelv, and let's catch up after Cardiff and see how it goes, and maybe we'll do that after the hangover is gone, eh?
Exactly. So I'm meant to be playing cricket at Nigel's charity do up in Womburn. His wife is getting organised, so I'm actually going to be popping along to that to support it. So she's actually making a huge effort for that. So I'm sure that'll be a nice day as well. Let's hope the weather behaves. So, but if I'm playing cricket not particularly well, it might be that I have a hangover.
Scandalous. I was going to mention that event actually, the charity cricket match for Nigel Pearson, his family organising that, and the money going to worthwhile causes as well, not least the Speedway Riders Benevolent Fund, but also to raise money for a memorial bench as well. Womburn Cricket Club, a place that you could often find Nigel if he wasn't in a commentary box somewhere. So a place very close to his and his family's hearts, and you're going to be turning out, Kelvin, to get involved in the action as well.
Yeah, it's all for a good cause. So I do hope that there are darts players there. Some of the Speedway boys from Wolverhampton are coming along. So I'd like to think it'll be a smashing day. And as I say, it was a favourite place for Nigel too. Have a couple of Guinnesses, and he's remembered very fondly there. So I'm sure it'll be a smashing day.
Absolutely. So that is the day after Cardiff, the 3rd of September, Womburn Cricket Club near Wolverhampton. On that Sunday afternoon, a charity event featuring all sorts of sporting personalities, but not least Speedway and Kelvin, one of them there as well. Go along and support that and raise some money in memory of Nigel Pearson. Thanks a lot, Kelv. We will catch up then after Cardiff and see how things have turned out then, not least with the Grand Prix, but also how British Speedway's looking, because we'll know then who's going to be heading into the playoffs and all that, I think, pretty much. So we will catch up and see how things are shaping up in the final throes of the season.
Yeah, we will do.
And thanks to you for listening. Don't forget to like, subscribe or follow or click whatever you have to do on your podcast app of choice so you don't miss any future episodes as soon as they arrive. And leave us a review as well if you like, because that helps other Speedway fans to find it. And check out the previous episodes too, some of which are a little bit out of date, you could say, in terms of the time that they were recorded. But the guests that we've had have always got some interesting knowledge to impart there as well. So check out those. And not least our Dan Bewley interview, which was done after he won Cardiff last year. But again, interesting to hear some of the background story of Dan's career as well. That's all on the same feed. So scroll back to the very, very start for that. And we'll be with you again very soon for another episode of Tatum Talks.